Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's Pastro Down.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Brandon Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
I love wrestling. I love independent wrestling so much. As the show opening is playing, I get a message from one of the wrestlers because I told you we're planning something. I don't want to say what it is because I'm going to give something away. And it's he sends me a message and he's like, am I still working so-and-so on such and such a day? And I'm like, no, you're working them on a different day. Oh, okay. That's cool. I was like, you're working this other person on the other day. And it's for this title. And he replies, please tell me I'm losing. And I'm like, of course you're losing. Of course you're losing. So you made some adjustments and now I can't hear you.
I muted myself during the intro so that I didn't get caught singing along. I have since unmuted myself. You know, I've just been caught up in the excitement of March Madness and I lose myself, Greg. I lose all rational thought. And the ability to unmute a microphone before.
You do speaking. Love yourself some March Madness. You do.
I do it. I do.
After Bayer! After Bayer! After Bayer!
I will watch March Madness.
Not a banger.
I will watch March Madness hit the current game.
Exactly. No pop.
But I will not. I don't get into it the same way. I still might fill out the bracket for work. We'll see. I think I have till tomorrow. Or maybe a deadline already passed. I don't know. They just sent it out.
You should have until midnight tomorrow because most brackets run through. They don't count the first
right,
four
count
games.
First
like you don't have to pick them, and there's two tomorrow.
Gotcha. That's fine. We'll make it work.
I'm here for you. I'm here for all of your bracket needs. You know.
I might just have you fill it out.
Bitch.
So yeah, we could do that. We could do that. So yeah, we are a wrestling podcast, though. We've talked about things not wrestling before. And it's been totally fine. Speaking of not wrestling, the daughter and I always like to, when certain movies come out, we're like, oh yeah, this is the kind of movie that we would go see. Because we like to make fun of them. We like to do whatever. So we went and saw Looney Tunes, The Day the Earth Blew Up, or whatever the hell it's called, right?
Oh, yeah.
Fucking awful.
Is it?
When the daughter sentiment is we should have gone and seen Dog Man, yes, it's awful. Like that's how bad it was.
Well, it probably explains why Warner Brothers then immediately got rid of all of their classic Looney Tunes content from Max. It's all gone now.
Is it really? All away. Wow.
Yeah, I shared it with the Bandwagon Nerds guys on Monday, and there was a lot of speculation that the day the Earth blew up needed to be a hit or something for a couple of different things, for that Wile E. Coyote movie to happen. And I feel like David Zaslav has been looking for a reason to get rid of that content for quite some time, and this may have been it.
I mean, it was, well, it made $3.1 million in its weekend premiere.
Which so. Sounds about what I would expect it to make.
Oh, interesting. The article, the headline is literally, despite losing its streaming home, Looney Tunes finds box office success. So I think the streaming issue that you're referring to is unrelated to the success of the movie.
Right. Well, they've been pulling it for, yeah, they've been pulling progressively old Warner Brothers Looney Tunes content for a while. I think the animation can be relatively cheap to make. So, you know, turning out $3 million to be a successful debut against a week. I mean, it was a weak box office. But even by those standards.
Yeah, I definitely do not recommend. Although it was well reviewed by both critics and audiences on Rotten Tomatoes. Because I pulled up the Rotten Tomatoes score for Dog Man, sent to my daughter, and she's like, oh, we should have seen that. And then I pulled up the Looney Tunes one, and I was like, well, 83% versus 86%, which is what Looney Tunes got. She's like, really? Who are these people? Like, she wanted to leave, and she's never wanted to leave a movie before. Like, she was there like, can we just go? Like, literally. It was just that. And I think some people loved it for nostalgia purposes, which I get. But like, that's cool in 22-minute doses, not in 90-minute doses. So, yeah. Especially No Bugs Bunny, which I think turns the people off. And, you know. Daffy Duck is like, definitely is you got to pace yourself a little bit with Daffy Duck. Like, you need breaks from Daffy Duck. You know, you can't just have... all that time with Daffy Duck.
You know what's interesting about this movie? This is the first ever Looney Tunes full feature movie where it's like a movie with a plot and not a compilation movie. Like,
and they didn't have some of their biggest people. Yeah, that's.
And it was an intentional decision.
Yeah.
Not because they're going to do a Looney Tunes cinematic universe or anything like that. But the story they wanted to tell, the day the Earth, here's the thing, is the story that they want to tell, and again, I haven't seen the movie, Daffy as the main character makes more sense.
Right.
Like Alien Invasion.
I don't know that Daffy and Porky are definitely equal main characters.
Yes, because they have always been the buddy comedy of Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Like, especially in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Like,
yeah.
You know, Porky being the straight man, Daffy being the goofy one that, you know, is always causing the problems. It's been a good formula and it's worked for him for years. I think that's probably what they were going for.
Let's they definitely
run with this buddy comedy that's always worked we've been successful with it. It just didn't happen.
I agree.
It didn't happen for you. It seemed to happen for others. Because like you said, it was well reviewed.
It was well reviewed and you know. Even though literally no one in my theater was laughing. I think I got a couple laughs out of me towards the end. There were a couple funny things that were said, but again, could have watched it in 22-minute segments and not 90, but it's all good. So again, I don't recommend it, but some others might like it and that's okay too. We sure as hell didn't stay for the post-credit scene. I can tell you that. So, cause that's what they needed was a post-credit scene, but yeah.
Did it have a post-credit scene?
It sure did. It had a mid-credit and a post-credit. So, but I think all the post-credit scene was is Porky doing his usual wrap-up that he does for Looney Tunes and Daffy stopping him, basically being like, but we might have a sequel or something like that. So, yeah. That was it. There was a very meta moment during the middle of the movie where some guy who's watching something stands up and he's like, "Who greenlit this?" So, not nearly as meta as the Simpsons movie was, where Homer literally looked at the screen and told you you're an idiot for watching the movie. But, and he was right.
Ferris Bueller did it first.
Yes.
But the movie's over.
Go home.
Oh.
Yeah.
The OG post-credit scene, too.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, back to wrestling. This is a wrestling podcast with Greg DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd. And Patrick O'Dowd, this past Monday, because it's Wednesday when you're listening to this, it's Tuesday, March the 18th, 5 years ago, we were knee-deep in COVID paranoia. And now we're realizing whatever we're realizing about that. I don't want to put words in people's mouths. So, but here we are today, and this past Monday, on March 17th, was the Monday Night Raw, where we finally got to hear John Cena's side of the story, right? The heel turn heard around the world. People are arguing, was it a better heel turn than Hogan's? More impactful heel turn than Hogan's? You don't have to shake your head because we're not talking about that today. Maybe we will get into it. Who the hell knows? But one of the things that I told you on this podcast was I need to hear John Cena's reasoning. I needed him to not just be The Rock's lackey. I need him to not just be this robotic version of John Cena, which is what he came off as during the heel turn, to the point where there were memes that were basically listing out the code words for the Winter Soldier, that saying that The Rock used those to turn John Cena heel. And I thoroughly enjoyed those memes because I do love the Winter Soldier. But so John Cena gave us reasoning, and I internet wise, there's definitely some split reaction. Like, I watched this one reaction video from the Suplex, S-O-O Plex, on Instagram, which is a really funny account. He did not like the reasoning that John Cena gave. I'll be honest with you. My biggest complaints, I won't ask you to remember, but were that for the past decade of John Cena, he has been a genuine, authentic human being version of John Cena. Who we've seen and heard talking was the real John Cena. And so I needed to believe that John Cena wasn't out there being an actor and finally giving us the heel turn with years of Hollywood experience. I needed to feel like I was still seeing the authentic, genuine version of John Cena. And I'll be honest with you, I did feel like he delivered a performance that felt authentic and genuine. Now, you saw it. Did you feel as though it was authentic and genuine, or did it feel fake and forced or somewhere in between?
I'm with you on this one. And I think the reason I think it works so well, in my opinion, or at least why it works so well for me, was the idea of fans and the expectations of fans and fandom and the whole concept of take being something that wears down on a celebrity. I think that's a very easy thing for a fan to hear. And even though they may be booing the guy, understand and relate to it in a way that they can be like, yes, I can get behind this guy calling me a drain on his life. And that he's tried so hard to win our approval and be the perfect whatever that they needed him to be. And it broke him. Like, it finally broke him because it felt like he wasn't being appreciated. And the wrestling fan base, and this is probably the final reason why this really, I thought it worked. The toxicity of a wrestling fan base is nothing if not everywhere. I mean, you've got, and not, you know, you've never heard John Cena say a peep, really, in all the years that he's been the public face of professional wrestling. And I'm sorry, for 20 years, he's been the public face of professional wrestling. He's been everywhere. He's done everything. He's granted more wishes than anybody knows. He's done countless talk shows, you know, guest spots, TV shows. And, you know, The Rock may be the superstar, you know, in the first Hollywood success story, but John Cena has been pro wrestling. And so it's, He's never talked about it, but when you've got people like Asuka talking about, like, don't harass me at airports, or don't,
right.
What happened to her? somebody stalked her or something to her house.
She's been stalked to her house. Rhea Ripley, same thing.
You know, and women are the ones that we hear the most about when it comes to situations like that. But we've also seen footage at airports. Hell, even CM Punk. Like, I don't love the dude, but I've also seen the way people approach the dude. You know, that footage is out there. Airport, like, autograph hounds waiting at airports. Not because they actually want to meet the dude, because they want to sell their merch later. Like, shit like that. Like, I get it. So, knowing that, it makes it easier to hear that reason from John Cena and be like, I can buy why he turned his back on the fans. And I can be okay with Cody coming out and calling him a whiny bitch, even though Cody has played quite the whiny bitch in his day.
Sure has, and even recently. But I want to wait on Cody. I want to wait on the Codester, as people like to call him.
Codester.
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen it somewhere. Someone has, because I didn't definitely sure as fuck didn't make it up myself. But no, I would not have come up with that. good or bad, I wouldn't have come up with that. Good or bad, I would not have come up with that. Yeah, but that was still a good call by you.
Awesome! I came to
okay.
So, to me, the reasoning was secondary behind the presentation. And what I really loved was right off the bat, didn't change the music, didn't change the gear, because that's John Cena. And he said it early when he was like, you don't get any music. That's my voice that's playing in that music. Like, basically saying that this has been him all along. And over time, it really truly did become him. There was no line between John Cena, the character, and John Cena, the guy. It's kind of like what we see modern day out of AJ Styles. Like it's all of that. I also think John Cena being authentic in his presentation is going to make it a hell of a lot easier when he turns back to babyface the Raw after Mania, which I fully believe is going to happen. So, because
Shawn Michaels style.
Not only that, but like it's the John Cena retirement tour. Like he's not going to be a heel the whole time. That's for damn sure. Like what I loved, and I even posted this on Twitter, people reacted to it. He came out there with a Brussels t-shirt on and the hat, and that shit sold out, even though John Cena's a heel and getting booed like crazy and everything. Like it's just amazing. But I loved his reasoning and I loved his presentation and I loved everything about it. To me, it had very little to do with The Rock, which I think was very important because it's John Cena. He doesn't need The Rock for anything. The Rock will be involved at WrestleMania, but it had everything to do with John Cena, which I definitely enjoyed since the heel turn was all about The Rock. And that's fine. That's just the way they had to do it. Like you could have done what you did and gotten to this point without The Rock. Like Cody and John Cena could have had their embrace after the Elimination Chamber and John Cena just low blows him and beats the shit out of him anyway. And does that. Like, you didn't need The Rock for any of this. Like, and supposedly this heel turn has been in the works since last fall, which I'm willing to believe. But I also still think that you could do the whole thing without The Rock. So I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to see more from John Cena. I did reshare the fuck them kids picture because that's literally what he said at one point without using the words. Like, he pointed out the damn child in the audience wearing his stuff.
Did he get a belt too?
That's the one who got the belt.
Oh, that's
the one that Cody pulled in the ring afterwards. So here's my issue. And I get what they advertised. The one thing this promo didn't need was Cody Rhodes at all, in my opinion. Like, I know they were like John Cena and Cody Rhodes under the same roof, and that's how they advertise it, and they're doing it again for next week, but I didn't need Cody coming out and saying anything. I needed Cena to cut the promo, drop the mic, and leave. Like,
right. Like
to me, I give it a 10 out of 10 solely because of Cena's presentation. But if I have to factor in Cody's, I give it a 9 out of 10 because the only thing that would have made the promo better is if it was completely and only John Cena. Like, I don't think right. We needed Cody
Rhodes.
And
then Rhodes. You have, like, and I know Cody's in, and if Cody's in the building, you got to have him show up. But, like,
but you could have had Adam Pearce tell him, no, he can't be out there. You could have had whatever.
Right, like somebody stopping him, but what my point is I'll give him the ring time too. Like, put him in the ring and let him do something.
Cody's a SmackDown superstar anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Right.
I didn't need Cody.
Doing,
of course, I mean, Gunther wrestled on Raw on Friday, but it was against Axiom, who's a Spaniard in Spain. By the way, I know you probably didn't watch SmackDown. Go seek out the Gunther versus Axiom match. It's phenomenal. And Gunther refers to him as a kid in the back who wants to fight him, which is great because he used to wrestle as a kid was his name. So, and you could tell as soon as he mentioned a kid, the crowd knew. Like, I didn't realize how big of a star Axiom was in Spain before he came to WWE. Like, the entire crowd knew who the fuck he was. So, like, I had concerns about Axiom and Nathan Frazer for Axiom going to the main roster, which they probably will in the next draft. And seeing Axiom fight Gunther, I feel like Axiom and Frazier are better positioned to come to the main roster than Ciampa, Gargano, a lot of the smaller guys that have come up to the main roster. Like, there's just something about how they work that works for me. Who knows? Maybe because they came up in this modern era of NXT where the talent is physically bigger than when Gargano and Ciampa came up. So I don't know what it is, but that's just a little aside. But highest recommendation to watch Gunther versus Axiom and Gunther's promo leading up to it, because that was, it's not the same old shit we've been getting from Gunther with the Jey Uso build on Raw, which we got more of again this week.
I will say that anything that you put over will be better than the most recent wrestling that I've watched.
Okay.
Because and it wasn't bad, but I was like, eh, I watched half of Impact.
Okay. Yeah. Week. I don't know.
It was like, eh.
I haven't seen it. So the thing about
it was Impact.
Yeah. I didn't need Cody at all. And I'm growing concerned about this build for Cody. And there's two separate Cody Rhodes topics here. And so I'm going to probably go in the wrong order, but I don't care. When Cody won the title and they built a feud with Solo Sikoa, Cody was playing second fiddle to the Bloodline storyline. When Cody literally had a team with Roman Reigns at Bad Blood, Cody was the afterthought. He came out first. Roman came out second. The Rock comes out at the end. Whatever. Now when they're built to WrestleMania, it's Cody and The Rock, and now it's Cody and John Cena, and The Rock's going to be there too. For everybody who claims that Cody Rhodes is the guy and he's carrying whatever, he hasn't carried a single thing. The only feud he's carried is the one with Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens probably carried that one too. Like, Cody is still an afterthought as a champion, in my opinion. And I think this whole segment with John Cena, like, again, the one thing I didn't need was Cody. And he's the fucking champion. Like, I should need Cody, but I didn't.
I think you see that. I don't know that the audience sees that quite the same way.
Probably not
live.
Of course not live, yeah.
If for no other reason than the damn song is over, so you always get that going for him. Absolutely. But I also got to remind myself where they were doing that bit, or doing that segment, right? Because we just know an international crowd is always hotter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just amp it up by a couple of notches. Like, this one goes to 11 and all that. But I will say, while we may feel like he's an after, I don't feel like he's quite the afterthought that you're kind of seeing with him, for this angle,
right?
So far,
because I think it's still maybe about, afterthought's not the best phrase. It doesn't feel like it's about Cody. That's for sure. No, it doesn't feel like it's about the title. It's not about the title.
What if he's the man who saves John Cena?
Oh God. That would be even worse. We'll go back to when Sting helped Hulk Hogan turn babyface in TNA. Help me, Hulkster. Help me.
I mean, I don't know. Who knows if they'll do it that way. But, I mean, you know. I do think it's an interesting position that they've put Cody in. And I do see the con. Like, when you compare him to the way that Gunther has been champion, the way that Roman Reigns was champion, there hasn't been necessarily the sort of true iconic by myself opponent,
except for Kevin Owens.
In what you're getting at, and here's the thing: I love Kevin Owens, love him dearly, but is that the caliber of of a feud to be in solo that
yeah, puts I think so.
X. You think so?
I think so.
I don't know. I love Kevin. I mean, he delivers.
Who else is there? Kevin Owens is at the top of the roster for non-champions right now, along with the likes of Randy Orton, AJ Styles, Jey Uso, all those.
That kind of speaks to the other problem, though. But that's a roster problem, not necessarily like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think those guys are all.
Who's the larger than life heel? Brock Lesnar needs to come back, and Cody Rhodes needs to beat Brock Lesnar. He needs to beat Roman Reigns. Honestly, like beat Roman Reigns.
Most of the company isn't larger than life anymore.
True, but you still it's need at least a couple of them.
It's this whole reality era that we've been in for a while now. When Brock left, there hasn't really been larger.
Mr. Orton's larger than life.
I don't know if, again, you didn't watch SmackDown on Friday. He was introduced at 290 pounds. Randy Orton is almost 300 pounds. And he's not fat. He's fucking muscle. Like, it's crazy how big Randy Orton is. And it's just insane.
Well, when he made his return.
Yeah.
I remember, I saw that. Because when he made his return, I remember being like, he is not mean.
Right, yeah.
Like, he was so... Because I just remember when we changed, when we made some rules, and some things were being checked, and some tests were being taken, you know, multiple choice, stall A, B, or C, which one are you going to use? Randy went from thick to lean. Right. And he was carrying that lean look for so long. And when he came back, when his return through that entrance ramp to show down Kevin Owens upon his return, he was, as you noted, noticeably less lean.
Oh, yeah. And he has been even before he left with this most recent break. And that's, you know, and also he's older now, too. So it's harder to lean.
Can we just let him punt?
Oh, of course, that's what they're building to. He's going to punt at WrestleMania.
Like, I know, I know. We got to punt. We got to make the punt special. Like, I know.
Of course, we do. It's going to happen. It'll happen at WrestleMania. But now, if it were Cody versus Randy Orton, I feel like the feud would be more about Cody and more about the title. So, you mentioned, you know, Cody saving be the one to save John Cena. They've announced Backlash for May, and I believe in St. Louis. It's probably going to be Cody and Cena as a tag team against somebody. If I were to predict right now. So mark the tape here on March 18th, 2025.
Will they win the tag titles?
God, no. Who knows?
The Shawn Michaels Stone Cold thing? Right. Is that what it was?
Well, they're going to have to wrestle on main event because that's the only place the Raw Tag Champs have been lately. So,
right.
So they were on main event again this week against Otis and
Hashtag safe tag team wrestling.
Well, on SmackDown now, the tag team division is kind of going crazy. But... but on Raw, it's a little different. So so that's one concern I have with Cody right now is continuing to be an afterthought. Here's the other concern I have with Cody. And I've been saying it time and time again, and I'll say it again, again, again. He's still a fucking heel. Like, you don't need the biggest baby face in the comp. Like, and I know Cody wants to do this kind of stuff. But maybe somebody needs to protect Cody from Cody. Him telling The Rock to go fuck himself was the most forced thing I've heard in the longest time. Like, it didn't sound natural. It didn't sound well. But it's Cody to me is Mr. Cheap Pop on everything he does. Like, there's really no, ever since he finished the story, which is a phrase that he regrets ever coining, Cody's had zero depth to him whatsoever. Like, he's very superficial. Three-piece suit, got the bus, got the cigars, the hot wife, the dog. Like, Cody's just, like, the most surface-level person they have. There's no depth to Cody whatsoever. And so he has to swear and bleed. And it's just, you know, and then coming out and calling John Cena a whiny bitch, when you said it, it sounded like a whiny bitch calling somebody a whiny bitch. Like, Cena looks like Cody looks like an entitled prick when he's out there talking. Like the vibe he gives and look he has doesn't meet the character.
He's a Nepo baby. That's all.
Yeah, he kind of is an entitled prick. Yeah, like that's just what it is. But
yeah, I was like, what do you want?
If they ever actually turn him heel, he will have an amazing run. if they have the balls to do it. And we'll see. They had the balls to do it, Cena.
It'll happen at some point. It'll be okay, Greg. It's okay, man. Yeah. No, it'll be hugs, not Cody's. Hugs.
So, that's my issues with Cody. I just feel like...
It's funny because I, like, and I maybe it's just because I'm in a different place, like in terms of the level of critical eye I have towards pro wrestling right now, as I was happy for the Classmaster winning the WOW Women's, the WOW World title. I was like, good on her. I do not feel this very much at all. I actually am perfectly fine with where Cody is and what he's doing. Like, I don't know. I've enjoyed this ride. Yeah. I don't really need to watch him. It's funny. I don't really need to watch him wrestle, but I haven't right. minded him. I haven't minded him playing the role that he is. And
yeah.
like for me, it's like, I haven't felt that it's been as forced as you've noticed it to be. I haven't when I watched the segment, like, it happened the way we expect these sorts of segments to go in the WWE. And I didn't sit there after he called him a whiny bitch. I wasn't like, oh, jeez, that sounded stupid. I've heard way less forced deliveries.
Of course.
I actually was like, oh, when he told The Rock to go fuck himself, I was actually like, wow, look at that. And not in a sarcastic way, because I can be a sarcastic dude. So I guess... I hear you, but, like, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
That's one of us. Did it for you. That's one of us.
It is one of us.
We're betting 500. We'd be a Hall of Fame baseball
player. I'd say we'd still be a Hall of Fame baseball player. So I will take that. I will take that any day. So there we go. We're split on Cody. We're split on not necessarily split on Cena, but definitely split on Cody.
No, I'm with you on Cena, 100%. I think we're in the same place there.
I think so. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, talk about some more stuff in wrestling. So sit tight. We'll be right back.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto parts.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Taking it all. Settle the score. No, I will not take that loss. Taking it all.
Another reason to go back and watch Friday's SmackDown, Patrick O'Dowd, as you can see Solo Sikoa slowly and surely becoming the hype man for Jacob Fatu, because that's literally what he's becoming on SmackDown now. Like, it is happening.
Shocked, I tell you.
I do want to go back to Raw real quick, because the one thing that the show ended with a stare down between Penta and Bron Breakker, which I thought was very well done, and what they're setting up with the Intercontinental title picture in general. Penta and Ludwig Kaiser had a phenomenal no holds barred match, which was great. And then Bron Breakker beat Finn Balor at the end of Raw, and then Penta came out and confronted. Because during a promo after the no holds barred match, Penta said he was coming for the Intercontinental title. All that good stuff. It's obviously going to happen at WrestleMania. But when I saw that, because when literally as I was watching Raw, when Cody came out and cut his promo, I was just like, we didn't need that. But I'm like, okay, what are you going to do with Cody, though? Like, you have to do something with Cody. He can't not appear, even if he appears for the live audience and maybe just backstage on television. So I would have had him appear backstage on television, some interaction with Adam Pearce or an interview with Kathy Kelly or something like that. And I was like, what they could have done was had Dominic Mysterio get involved in the main event because it's Finn Balor's match. And then when the show goes off the air, Cody comes out, wrestles Dominic Mysterio in a dark match, beats him, whatever. Come to find out, Cody Rhodes beat Dominic Mysterio in the dark match after Raw on Monday night, then pulled the kid in the ring that Cena talked shit to and gave him the belt and all that kind of stuff. So another example of where Greg knows what he's talking about. They didn't quite set it up how I would have set it up, but like you still could have used Cody in that way. Cody didn't need to be out there. So, but what was funny to me was like my example became what they actually did. So I did enjoy that. You sent me a tweet earlier today that talked about John Cena's promo in through the lens of the fans are starting to turn on Jey Uso. And I don't see anyone turning on Jey Uso. Like, and I think the reasons are there. It is the same old shit time after time. Like, he does come out and wave his arms and crowds go crazy, but it hasn't gotten... For a couple weeks there, they didn't do that. They had him do run-ins with Gunther, and so he didn't do the full entrance until they got back to Madison Square Garden. So they did give that a rest for a few weeks, but I don't see anybody turning on Jey Uso, except for the people that hated the fact that he won the Rumble to begin with because they wanted Cena to win the Rumble, or CM Punk to win the Rumble. So
yeah, I said it to you as a legitimate question. I was just this guy posted this lengthy thing, and it was like, talking about how fans are turning on him because he became popular because he was developed organically.
Which he was,
The eating and all of that. And sure. But now we're being forced, we're forced to like him. And it's like, but you wanted to like him. Like I don't get it. Like, do you not want the guy to, like, is it's like we only want the dude to win when the WWE doesn't want him to win? That's the thing. And maybe yeeting is getting a little old.
I don't think it is yet.
Practice. And I mean that happens.
Of course it is.
But yeah, I had not heard and was not really sure what was going on. So thought I would ask you because it seemed ludicrous to me, especially in the way that I have caught wrestling, and I solemnly swear that by the time we're ready to do who should win and who will win for WrestleMania, like, I'll have watched three episodes of Raw. I promise.
I believe
maybe not in a row, but if there's something great about professional, I've said this for years though, it only takes one show to get back.
Of course. Especially WWE.
Especially the WWE. WWE, you know, people always complain about video packages. They have video packages for people like me. So that when I come back, I can get caught up in an episode of Raw or SmackDown.
And they did. They even reviewed the entire happenings from the prior week's Raw between CM Punk, Roman Reigns, and Seth Rollins. Which I know we didn't podcast last week.
You know what I hate, though, is that they've taken that away on PLEs in a lot of instances where they do those full recaps while people who didn't spend the money for no commercials.
Right. Watch commercials. Yes. That is true.
That makes me sad.
I watch enough of the product to where it doesn't matter for me, but I get that. I fully get that. And I understand it. So it's weird because the build for Jey Uso and Gunther has been largely the same over and over again. Gunther attacks Jey Uso, puts him in a sleeper, like whatever. I like this little aside they're doing with Jey Uso and Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. It's been fun. Like, Uso beat Grayson Waller last week.
That's not a new thing. WWE has done that many, many times.
Especially with the Royal Rumble winner, because he won the Royal Rumble in the beginning of February and has to go to the end of April. Like, you got all February, all March, and most of April. You got almost 3 months where Jey Uso's got to be kept busy, and it can't be the same old shit between him and Gunther every week, which it has been. But good match of Grayson Waller. Really quick win over Austin Theory, which some people are like, oh, they're burying Austin Theory. Whatever. It's fine. Austin Theory is going to be okay. And then of course, Gunther got involved and there was all that. But what I really like was the fact that they set up a tag team match for next week's Raw, which is A-Town Down Under, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, against Jey Uso and a mystery partner. And next week's Raw just happens to be in Scotland.
Huh.
And I'm pretty sure we can all assume whose name they're going to say so that he can appear. So I think Joe Hendry will finally make his way to Monday Night Raw in Scotland and be Jey Uso's mystery partner.
You mean it won't be Drew McIntyre?
Absolutely not. He's too busy. That's a whole other thing with the internet. I don't understand the internet's hatred for the feud between Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest. I just don't get it.
I have never seen that's not true. Drew McIntyre is the internet wrestling community's current, we need this guy out of WWE guy. And so every time anything is going on with Drew McIntyre that they can interpret as bad for him, or if he takes any amount of absence away from the company, he's leaving, like, you know, that man goes on vacation. Drew McIntyre is leaving the company. That's all it is he's the guy that they have put in their brains will be better in AEW, where he'll stand 9 feet over everybody and waste his time.
Right. Yeah. And he'll be hanging out with Lance Archer and Brian Cage.
Right.
Yeah. That would be amazing. Yeah, it's just crazy. Like, and well, here's the crazy thing. When you look at the history between Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest going back to last year's WrestleMania, it's easily the most well-built feud this side of Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. Like, because that goes back 11 years. But it's literally the perfect feud for this WrestleMania, and everybody's crapping all over it because they think he should either be somehow, these are the fans that want Drew McIntyre to be inserted into the feud between Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and CM Punk.
But
instead
why
of
though?
Feuding with the guy he actually has problems with in Damian Priest. It's absurd. Or they wanted him in one of the title matches. It's just the silliest thing ever, because that feud makes a whole lot of sense. And then I watched SmackDown, and they said that the crowd and this person tweeted or posted or whatever, the crowd in Spain agrees with me about the Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre feud. And I didn't see that at all either. I thought the crowd was fine on it, but maybe I'm wrong. Who the hell knows? But I just don't see it. I just don't get that. But I really like it's I feel like when we get to WrestleMania, people are going to crap over the build somewhat.
Yep.
And I don't understand why, because even though we still have over a month to go, although today's the 18th and WrestleMania is the 19th and 20th of April, so we got a month. I think it's actually been pretty good. They have done way more to build the match between Bianca Belair, Io Sky, and Rhea Ripley than anyone ever thought they were going to do, to the point where that match could believably main event night one, with the way that they've built it and the job they did on the contract signing angle they did on Raw on Monday was great. I still worry they won't let it main event and they'll go with Punk, Rollins, and Reigns on night one. But it's just all, I don't know. I think the build has been great. And I think when we get there, because if you knew every single feud in January, it gets boring. Look at Gunther and Jey Uso. And when Bianca Belair won Elimination Chamber, people were even saying in the chair, shot the red, I need more than 35 days to build this feud. No, you don't. Like, you really don't.
Especially not with the current wrestling audience. Like,
yeah.
Again, you can't on one side be like, Jey Uso is getting tired And then the other be like, this isn't enough time when you have over a month.
Like, yeah,
I don't know.
I just don't get it. And we still only have a handful of matches set.
And nobody's feuding over a shampoo commercial. So, like,
that's true. And no one has in a really long time. So,
exactly.
That's okay. But
for people to say stories are bad or don't make sense or stupid, they're not feeding over a shampoo commercial and they actually have history. So,
like, I know we only have like 4 matches announced right now and it's just the men's and women's title matches. I still feel like you can tell where they're going with certain things. You know, we're building to AJ Styles and Logan Paul. You know, we're now building to Penta and Braun Breaker and maybe some others involved too. We had Jimmy Uso confront LA Knight about the United States Championship on SmackDown that also brought out more people. If I were WWE, the U.S. title, the women's U.S. title, the Intercontinental title, the women's Intercontinental title, and all 3 sets of tag titles would be multi-person, multi-team matches because you have so many other well-built singles matches. Although Punk, Rollins, and Reigns is a 3-way, and now the women's world championship is a 3-way, even though it's not official yet. But so they don't have a ton of put, but you also got, you know, AJ Styles and Logan Paul, and you got Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest. And so you've got other singles matches that are being built as well. They could even, if they go with Naomi and Jade Cargill, there's that as well, which is probably going to happen on SmackDown before WrestleMania, but who knows? Plus you're going to do something with Rey Mysterio. He's going to be on the card. It's Rey Mysterio. He's fought Dominic every year in WrestleMania for the past 2+ years. So he's probably going to be in some tag match that involves Dominic Mysterio. So it's very interesting to me what they could potentially do with all those matches. And they got a ton of great talent. It's like you said, maybe it's almost like there's so many main event level talents in WWE that it doesn't feel like there's main event levels and talents in WWE because it's so wide. The organization is very flat right now, right? You always hear that in business, a flat organization. And I think that's part of which they want. They want WWE superstars to all be considered as like some of the best in the world in what they do. And
yeah, they need everybody on a certain level or plane.
Yeah. I want the Intercontinental Championship to be a multi-person match because I want to see Ludwig Kaiser inserted to a situation like that. And there's
most
other people
should want to see Ludwig Kaiser. Well, of course. Know this.
Yes.
We've talked about this.
And you have Finn Balor and you have, I don't remember what Dominic Mysterio said to Carlito during Raw, but he asked some question about Finn Balor or whatever. And Carlito just looks at Dominic Mysterio and goes, and then Dom leaves and Carlito just goes, "Do you watch the show?" It was just the best thing ever. Like Carlito is just perfect for that comedic element. Cause basically like, he's like, "I can't believe Finn's doing this" or whatever. And Carlito was like, "Do you watch the show?" Like just a really good meta moment there as well. So I definitely did enjoy that. I do want to go back to Jey Uso as well. You talked about the organic growth of Jey Uso. You talked about all that. And we have to remind people yet again, this man main evented SummerSlam in 2023 against Roman Reigns. Like, this is not an overnight sensation, right? He main evented WrestleMania in 2023. He main evented SummerSlam in 2023. Yes, in 2024, it was a little bit different, but this is not an overnight thing that everyone thinks it is with Jey Uso.
Right.
It's just...
I think the reason why there is that feeling is because they've played out that he's kind of never had the big one moment, so to speak.
That actually makes him the quote unquote ideal Royal Rumble winner.
You would think.
People actually wanted the 16-time world champion to win the Royal Rumble. The same people who would complain that they don't use the Royal Rumble to build somebody new wanted the 16-time world champion to win the Royal Rumble.
You know, to quote the great Daniel Bryan Danielson, fickle.
Yes. Oh yeah, absolutely. That's
and
what they
and you know this. It's their guy till it's not their guy, and once it's not,
it's
their
the playlist.
Guy, they move on, and that's
it's the,
and that's
it's the playlist happens. Mentality.
You know, but I will say that there is for me, like I'm ready for him to win this match and get this belt because there, 2 years is a long time.
Yeah,
to kind of be there but not get there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like if he doesn't win it at WrestleMania,
years, we'd be like. They waited too long to pull the trigger on Jey Uso.
And now it's okay because they wait too long to do everything. but most everything. Although this WrestleMania season, they've gone a little bit crazy with the fast title changes and everything else, which is fine. They're building excitement.
WCW in 2000.
Don't do that to anybody. But it's, you know, I think Jey Uso, if Jey Uso doesn't win at this WrestleMania, then he shouldn't ever win it, or he shouldn't win it for at least another year, because they got to basically start over and build him up again. But I would be shocked, and I know we're not picking yet because we're still a month away, I would be absolutely shocked if Jey Uso didn't win the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania. Like,
oh, 1,000%.
That would be the most shocking result of the entire show. I would be more shocked by that than John Cena winning his 17th, than any number of possible outcomes. I don't want to see Charlotte Flair beat Tiffany Stratton, but it could very well happen. I would be shocked if Jey Uso were to lose that match. Barring an injury, catastrophic injury during the match or whatever, I would be absolutely shocked if Jey Uso were not to win the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania. And what's weird is that on the surface, you would think Jey Uso is that then what guy. Like he's the homicide in Ring of Honor. He's the other ones. Even Daniel Bryan after WrestleMania 30. Like, once they win the title, the story's over. I feel like Jey Uso, he's kind of like the everyman in a lot of ways that Cody Rhodes thinks he is. That's what Jey Uso is.
With his fancy robe and his personal boss.
I feel like Jey Uso could then continue to have a run and have good title defenses against people like a Kevin Owens. There's a lot of fresh matchups still with Jey Uso as World Heavyweight Champion that you can do that I think will be highly entertaining. AJ Styles comes to mind. Finn Balor would be a great one for Jey Uso. Like, there's a lot they can really do with Jey Uso as World Heavyweight Champion that I think would work for me, brother. And I would be down. So I think it screams of like it peaks at the title win, but I really don't think it is. We'll obviously get proven right or wrong. Either way, we'll find out. But personally, I'm excited about
the situation. We'll know by SummerSlam.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, we will. So, all right, second commercial break, then we'll be right back.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes and we're out of here. The clock is ticking and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes and we're out of here.
So Patrick O'Dowd, I texted you this. We talked about it a little bit, which I normally hate doing on a podcast, but whatever. I know you haven't watched it, but over the since Friday, maybe Thursday, I don't know, to now, I'm my own sort of binge watching. I'm on episode 7. I've started watching Heels. I know people are like, you've just now seen Heels. Like, I didn't have stars. I'm sorry. And I'm kind of mad that no one told me just how goddamn good this show is. Like, it is amazing. I never watched Arrow, so I haven't gotten into a lot of Stephen Amell stuff. Like, he's a really good actor. Like, I'm surprised he's not in more shit. Like he plays his role of Jack Spade perfectly, and it's just been. Yeah, it's been fun. And twist and turn, his younger brother just signed with the rival wrestling promotion. Like, holy shit. You know, right on the precipice spoilers, of the biggest event ever.
Greg, spoilers.
What the, when will season 2 come out? Hang on. We're gonna find out just how many years ago this
I have no intention of watching Heels anytime soon.
You really should. You would enjoy it too.
I probably would. I will say that Stephen Amell, being the huge wrestling fan that he is, wasn't going to do something that he wasn't going to be able to take seriously.
But it's done right in the fact that it's not really about wrestling. Like, it is and it isn't. Like, it's definitely heavy on the wrestling content, especially in certain episodes. And it's like, did you ever watch Playmakers on ESPN, the short-lived series, drama series about the NFL?
No, but I remember because it made a bunch of news with like its first episode or something.
Well, even the whole first season. They only lasted one season because then the NFL made him, you know, pull the plug on it because it was so goddamn real. Like, it was too real in some of the stuff they were doing, like, for the, you know, the way the yeah. wife got herself pregnant and used it to get money out of the guy and how poorly the equipment manager was treated till the quarterback said something, like all these things that were just so that's like the wrestler to me is not as accurate of a presentation. Like it's a very extreme presentation, but heels is very, it's an accurate presentation of wrestling. It's an accurate presentation of family dynamics. It's an accurate presentation of a lot of things. And I can say that because I'm a guy with a family and I'm a wrestling promoter. And so it's like, I see it and I'm like,
wait, you're a promoter?
Yeah, I know. It hasn't come up yet this week, but so thank you for bringing that up. IZWTix.com, May 10th, Legends Never Die. Get your tickets, be there. It's going to be fun, but
all right, finish your story,
but seeing like watching it, it's just, it's phenomenal. And it's really good. I was shocked that CM Punk showed up so early. Like I knew he was going to be on it, but it was episode 3 that he was on. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize that was the episode he was in. His character was hilarious. And the little twist with his valet, because like he's there with his son and his valet and it's like, oh, they're this family on the road together. And then as they're leaving the valet of in heels, like she's going through it through a lot of the episodes so far. Punk's like, yeah, I gotta get home to Betty. And she's like, who's Betty? And he's like, my wife. And his valet is like, not every relationship's traditional, honey. And like, you know, they kind of go off and it's just this little twist that they do at the end. And I know AJ Lee's in it later, which makes sense because I'm like, who are they gonna have this woman wrestle when she's the only woman wrestling character? So it's been great and I highly recommend it. I really would love to see people in the business watch it and then sit around and talk about it. Because of, I think there's an added layer when you're inside the business that this show has, that especially from a promoter standpoint, because Stephen Amell's character is not only a wrestler, but also the promoter of the local wrestling promotion that his dad started, that he had to take over when his dad passed away. So it's, I would love to hear those conversations with people and maybe I'll try to organize something like that someday, but I probably won't because that takes time and who has time for anything? But yeah, I'm just a little flabbergasted that nobody told me how good this is. Cause I didn't, sometimes I'll start a show on Netflix and I'm like, am I even going to make it through the whole series before I give up? And I'm like, was heels overblown? And by the end of the first episode, I was like, I will watch every minute of this. Even if I just saw the best episode, like, I don't care. Like it's that good. So
I do want to warn you, I heard that Daffy Duck and Porky Pig show up about halfway through season 2, and that's why I got canceled.
Well, then I'm fucked because I'm still going to watch it. I'm going to do that. But I recommend it.
He is the masked hand bone.
Do I recommend it more than John Cena's Why I Turned Heel promo? No, but although maybe, again, you know, that's the other thing with this whole WrestleMania build and wrestling in general and the world in general. Everybody's already deciding if something's good or bad, and it's not even over yet. You know, we've seen John Cena twice as a heel, the night he turned and the first promo, and everyone's already deciding if it's good or bad. And what I hate is that they're not saying was the promo good or bad. They're taking the promo and saying whether or not the heel turn is good or bad. And it's like you can evaluate, if you must evaluate something, evaluate the segment on its own. But it's so premature to say whether or not the story is good or bad. Like it's literally just starting. Do I think it's going to be a long story? No. Like I said, he's turning a babyface tonight after Raw because they got a retirement tour to sell and John Cena is going to be in on it. And this heel turn is just part of it. But yeah, strong recommendation. Definitely recommend it way more than the Looney Tunes movie. Cause that was awful. So there you have it, Patrick O'Dowd. You can now get ready to go to bed. It's 11 o'clock at night on the East Coast. Only 8 o'clock
for me. I don't need to see how the North Carolina San Diego State game pans out.
Right.
Yeah, I will say that. That game, woof.
Maybe, not what the first
maybe game North was. Carolina did deserve to be in the tournament.
Maybe. That's the amazing thing about a 3-hour time difference. You're going to go to bed. I'm going to go to the gym. Like, that's the complete polar opposite.
Hey,
of
you know, what's have going a great on. Workout. Tomorrow is the last day of my work week. So
nice.
Oh, very that's good. Right.
That is Hermit a good thing time, as baby. Well. That's right. I actually have Friday off on the calendar, and I have no idea why or how long it's been on the calendar, or if I'm even going to take it off.
Just is there.
I noticed last week, I was like, when did I put Friday off?
I will be at a New England Buffalo Wild Wings somewhere watching basketball.
Excellent.
On Friday afternoon.
Enjoy. So. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Apparently tweeting a picture of my wings and beer to Tawny or something like that.
Tweet it to everybody.
Something similar.
And if you want to see that tweet, follow him at Wrestling Realist. That's WRESTLNGREALIST. There's no I in wrestling, but there is one in Realist. There's also no I in NCAA tournament, but there is one in Patrick O'Dowd at the Buffalo Wild Wings watching it. So you will have a lot of fun.
There's a lot there, man.
But it worked. It absolutely worked. I needed a stall. You were yawning. And that'll be a lot of fun for Patrick and a lot of fun for everybody. This is, for many people, one of the best weekends of the year. Is the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. So have a blast. Enjoy yourselves. I think it's going to be great. You can follow me at GregDeMarco44 on all forms of your social media. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick up one of those ChairShot t-shirts. You can follow the website at ChairShot Media for all things ChairShot related. It is TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Go there being thechairshot.com for sports, for entertainment, for sports entertainment, and so much more. The greatest podcasting menu you could think of is available right there for free at thechairshot.com. And hey, the road to WrestleMania is not stopping anytime soon. It's got another month till we actually get to WrestleMania. So there'll be plenty more to talk about as we build towards the big weekend in Las Vegas. So stick with us. We're going to give it to you straight how it truly is, not how the internet wants to tell you it is, because that's what we do on this program. For Patrick O'Dowd, I'm Greg DeMarco. Thank you for listening. We will see you when? Next time.
Exactly. No pop.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.